Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Watford over to Cam Johnson, wide open, three ball, it's a one-point game.
You can't let him catch, get his feet set, and fire.
It's almost like they fall asleep.
Yeah, that's what he does. I mean, he does more than that. That's what he's best at.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That's a good pull, Lucas.
Fire me up, Tim and Tom.
There it is. That's Tim Roy getting annoyed with the Warriors for leaving Cam Johnson open.
They just fall asleep.
Maybe they're trying to woo him.
Okay.
They want him to get comfortable at the Chase Center floor. They're like, dude, put it in. And then Tommy's like, dude, that's what he does. Then he goes, but he does other stuff too.
That's what he does best.
That's what he does best.
And the last time I checked, three-point shooting in today's NBA, maybe the most important characteristic of any basketball team.
Count me in. So we're going to play some Chris Mannix sound for you in just a second that both addresses Cam Johnson and also all the Bulls stuff that you hear with the Golden State Warriors. Right before Grandy and I just jumped back on, I was listening to the latest from Brian Windhorst, who did a little hit on ESPN to cover four different players. De'Aaron Fox, Jimmy Butler, Zach LaVine, and Brandon Ingram.
Okay.
Here's sort of the summary of each. Talking about De'Aaron Fox, he's like, obviously the Spurs are the team to watch. Who's their young player? Stephon Castle?
Stephon Castle, fourth overall pick from UConn.
Okay. And yep. Is he the one who's in the dunk contest?
Yes.
Okay. And right. Like, quick aside, my God.
He's the best player, NBA player in the dunk contest, and he's a rookie.
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
And then you've got Mac McClung, who's won it 2 years in a row, but is not even in the NBA.
I'm convinced the NBA keeps him on ice and then revives him every February.
And then you've got two players who, I'm just going to be real, I've never heard of in my life.
Wait, who are the other
two? That's the dunk contest that's coming. Like, I heard the roast this morning talking about, like, hey, when you cruise around the city, can you feel it yet that the All-Star game is coming? Can you feel it? And I was like listening, and I'm like, I looked right at my radio, and I'm like, no. No, and I'd argue, I don't know if you're outside of Thrive City if you ever really will. Like, we'll see what the NBA does about that to really sort of market this game. It's not the fault of the league, though, not the fault of the city. If you ask me, like, and I'm not trying to throw water on the All-Star game coming here, but last year's experience with the All-Star game was so embarrassing as a product that, like, they've got, and they're doing something different. My advice to the NBA would be right now, start a full court press on explaining to people what this All-Star game is this year, because it's different. And I don't think 99% of NBA fans get it or even know what's happening.
Yeah, and we are involved in the media of it. And I mean, I know it's a four-team tournament, and one of the teams is like the Rising Stars team, and you play each other, and then the winners of those two semifinals play each other in the final. We don't even know all the details. But the others in the dunk contest, Mac McClung, as you mentioned, who's won the last two, Stephon Castle, fourth overall pick of the Spurs, very good player. Matas Buzelis, first-round pick of the Bulls. And then Andre Jackson Jr., second-round pick 2 years ago, last year. He's in his second year now, from Milwaukee. That's the four. McClung, Castle, Buzelis, and Jackson Jr.
I just don't understand why the league can't do this differently. What, like, there has to be a way to incentivize players to do this. And just thinking, I'm sorry that we're on a tangent here, but I want to do this for a sec. After watching what he did two nights ago, why is GP2 not in this dunk contest that's here in the Bay Area? Why? And he has been asked, I actually was watching old videos of him being asked about the dunk contest 3 years ago. He had a huge dunk, and they started talking. There was a whole press conference one night at Chase about GP2 and dunking.
I remember that.
Okay? And he sat there, and he was like, first of all, because the sort of the tone was like, dude, we didn't know you had bounce like that. And he's like, you should see some of the G League video. Like, this is it is like that. But then they said, would you ever want to do a dunk contest? And he's like, no, I don't have, like, he called himself an in-game dunker.
Yeah.
And said,
I don't got to catch a body to make it look good.
Well, he's like, I don't have the tricks like some of the younger guys do. All right, fine. But I still bet you could convince him. And we all damn well know how. How hard is this, NBA? Hey, Gary, here's $2 million. Go be in the dunk contest. He suddenly won't be an in-game dunker anymore. I promise. I promise. And that is water off a duck's back for you, as opposed to, I'm sorry, what did you just say is in this contest? Who?
Yeah, a bunch of nobodies.
What?
A couple of high draft picks in the last draft, and then a couple of nobodies.
It's clear you can only get guys to do it when they're brand new into the league. And I get that. We've been going after this for a long time, but I don't understand it. I don't get why this is so hard. If you can get guys to suddenly care about the in-season tournament, they will go to Las Vegas and play an extra game for $500,000. You can't get Gary to come down to his home arena on a Saturday night? I don't care how he does.
Do you know what the prize money is for the dunk contest champ now?
No clue.
$100,000.
Dude.
Mac McClung needs that.
So, right. But, like, who cares? Give them an appearance fee. I would watch if GP2's in it. As it stands now, .. I won't. I'm not watching that. Like, no chance.
Second place gets $50,000. Third and fourth get $20,000 apiece.
Give Gary $1 million. He will find time on his Saturday.
Probably.
Or whatever date. Is that the day they do it? Friday or Saturday?
All-Star Saturday night is the dunk and the three-point.
Yeah. You get him off the couch. $1 million. Here you go. Like, why is that? I don't get it. I don't understand. Don't you want people to be like, I would think by now the NBA would love it.
I wonder
if on Monday after All-Star weekend, every sports radio station in America wasn't launching into how do we fix the All-Star game? And then one of the hosts goes, I got an idea. Let's just stop doing it entirely. How about if you change the narrative a little bit?
I wonder if Kuminga was going to be in it if he didn't get hurt.
That would have been a great idea,
too. It would have been a whole lot better than this, no doubt.
Great, great. Like, hello. How hard is it to have one of the home players, whoever your leaper is, they're in the dunk contest every year in the All-Star game?
We got to know the three-point contest field by now, right?
I would hope. Things coming up in 2 weeks. No, we don't.
I don't remember hearing about that. We know almost everything else, don't we?
Well, and you can get guys to do that because it takes no practice and no physicality. So you can get guys to do that.
I don't think we know yet, no. All we do know is that Caitlin Clark declined participating in some special contest. She wants her first three-point experience to be in the WNBA, which makes sense. That's all I know about the NBA three-point contest.
I bet you could have convinced her. I bet there's a way. I don't know. What do you think? You think there's a way we could have convinced her?
A little bit more money?
I mean,
We don't yet know the three-point contest participants.
I hope Steph is doing it.
It's home building. He should.
He should.
Yeah.
I would hope.
Maybe Cam Johnson will be in it.
Ooh. Now That'd be amazing.
He's shooting 42% from deep.
And he might be a Warrior by then.
If we
get our way.
Can I just read you some statistics?
Yes, and then I'll go back to finishing what Windhorst said.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Cam Johnson this year, averaging 19 points per game, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He's shooting 49% from the field and 42% from downtown. This is his age 28 season. Let's go to the age 28 season of one Klay Thompson. Okay? Klay Thompson, age 28. It was the 2018-2019 year. That was when Kevin Durant was in town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, like, basketball heaven. Klay has never been more open in his entire life than the 2018-2019 season. He averaged 21.5 points per game, again, to Cam Johnson's 19.5. He averaged under 4 rebounds. Cam's grabbing more than 4 per game. He averaged 2.5 assists. Cam is dishing out about 3 per game. Klay shot 46% from the field. Cam shooting 49%. Klay shot 40% from deep. Cam shooting 42%. Mm-hmm. This is Cam Johnson on one of the worst teams in the NBA. That is Klay Thompson on maybe the best team in NBA history.
Ever.
With Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry and himself, Klay Thompson. This is not me saying Cam Johnson is Klay Thompson.
I was just going to say, so what are you saying, Grandy?
Klay and Cam are very similar basketball players. Cam is kind of Klay Thompson light. He's not the streaky shooter that Klay is. Of course, no one is. And he's not the elite perimeter defender that Klay was. Klay was legitimately the best two-way two-guard in the NBA. Offense and defense, at his peak, he was that. Cam is not that. Cam's better, though, with the ball in his hands off the dribble and getting to the rim and finishing. Cam Johnson, and for Warrior fans that are trying to make sense of why I'm so in love with the idea of Cam Johnson on this Warrior team, because Klay was the dream fit. And Cam is a lot like Klay. Again, I'm not saying he's as good as Klay, and of course he never will be. But Cam is very much similar to how Klay Thompson played basketball, and we know how that worked. They were the best shooting duo in league history. Cam is very, very similar, and I would imagine if they were to acquire him, he would fit like a glove.
I just don't, like, the whole thing to me is a head-scratcher. I don't know why we don't hear about it more. And a piece of it I understand. I know everybody just wants to yell about the stars. And Cam is somewhere below the level of stars. But Chris Mannix, Ryan Russillo podcast via The Ringer, just said this about Cam Johnson.
Cam Johnson, I would guess, will ultimately get moved. I think the asking price is pretty high right now. Multiple first-round picks from what I've heard for Cam Johnson. Does that come down when the Nets, who have just no interest in being remotely good right now before February 6th? Maybe.
I mean, would we be hearing more about this if we changed his name to Klay Thompson Light? Would we? He averages more points per game than Jimmy Butler does.
This year, yeah.
He averages more points per game than Jimmy Butler does.
He's having a career year.
Okay. There's another Chris Mannix thing to play you, but let's put it aside for a sec. So Wendy, of course, goes through the stars. And again, here's essentially what he said. Yes, the De'Aaron Fox thing is centered on the Spurs. And Stephon Castle would have to be kind of a key to the whole thing. Sacramento wants him. The Spurs love him. So that's probably what they're butting heads about. We'll see. But I hear a lot of people think that De'Aaron Fox is going to get moved before Thursday. That's one. The Jimmy Butler thing, I think we largely know where it sits. But there's one interesting nugget. He said, look, the Suns want him the most, and that's where Butler wants to go. But yes, this is all hung up on Bradley Beal. Bradley's no trade clause. Their family is being firm about that, and they want to go where they want to go, and those people don't want him, and so that's kind of a non-starter. And at the very end, Wendy goes, if they can't figure it out, watch out for the Warriors there.
You mean if the Suns can't figure out Jimmy Butler?
Then watch out the Warriors for Jimmy Butler. I've already stated it. I'm out. I think horrible idea. Don't do it. But my hope is that the Warriors are being used kind of as a threat to the Suns, like, get this done, or Bradley Beal, get this done, or else he'll end up with the Warriors. Zach LaVine, he does throw out that there are a lot of teams that are at least slightly warming to the idea of LaVine. We know that that's been reported a lot for the Warriors, but at the same time, More on that in a second. And then Brandon Ingram, who he links to maybe the Atlanta Hawks, who just lost for the season one of their leading scorers. And I think Brandon Ingram, every day on this show, we get people who are like, Brandon Ingram, I've just been told so many times that it's a non-starter for the Warriors. Steve Kerr and Brandon Ingram did not gel very well when they were together with Team USA. I just don't think the Warriors have any interest in Brandon Ingram. But I want you to listen to this from Chris Mannix. Again, Ryan Russillo podcast via The Ringer. Listen to what he says about these two Bulls targets that we keep hearing so much about.
Look, Zach LaVine's a big name, but I don't know if we should be paying attention. Honestly, I don't get the sense that there's a market for Zach LaVine right now. He's having a great year, but that contract and the injury history has red flagged him to a lot of teams out there. So, you know, he's someone that we're going to be talking about because we don't know what the Bulls are going to do. But I don't get the sense that there is a bidding war right now for Zach LaVine. Same thing with Vucevic in Chicago. Would a team like the Warriors, the Lakers, or somebody like that like to get a hold of him? Yeah, but he's got a big contract. It's probably going to be a steep asking price back in return.
Okay, I'm going to put my chip in that bucket right there. I could be wrong. I do not have any inside info, but all of this talk, and as recently as yesterday, someone on the street came up to me and goes, what do you think the Warriors are going to do? I go, the best I can tell you is that it looks like there might be a match for some sort of a conversation between the Warriors and the Bulls, because that's what we're hearing everywhere. But the more that I've kind of listened and thought and talked about it with others over the last 24 hours, I think I'm ready to change my tune. And one of the reasons I want to change my tune is not just because Chris said that. We're flat out hearing too much about it. It's too telegraphed. Why would the Warriors do this? This is not how the Warriors operate. They don't operate this way. They're not out there being like, hey, call Kawakami and let him know that we're about to get LaVine and we're warming to him and all this stuff. I trust completely when Anthony Slater and Marcus Thompson started to put those names out there. I do think that they're having conversations with the Bulls, but it's just too loud. When it's that loud, somebody's trying to leverage somebody, and it means that the conversation, for whatever reason, isn't going great, because if it was, it would have happened already. So that is a long way of saying my hope is that what you're talking about is what's actually going on. I am digging the fact that no one's talking about Cam Johnson because, my God, he's obviously the crown jewel of this entire thing. When you talk about points per game, age, and contract, why is everyone screaming about these other players?
Not even just points per game, like just three-point field goal percentage.
Why do you want LaVine and Butler if you can have Cam? He scores
for like half the money,
just as many points per game as Butler. He's younger. He's half the money. He's not a locker room problem. You get him for two more years. The contract doesn't escalate. I don't get it. That is the dude. That's the dude to circle.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Jimmy Butler, for example, I am hesitant to pull the trigger on a Jimmy Butler trade because it 100% will cost you Andrew Wiggins. And I think, you know, even if it was just Butler for Wiggins, and of course it would be more than that, but let's just say it was for the sake of making an easy argument, I think the Warriors would be better. But it's an improvement, no doubt, but it's not a gigantic improvement. They're still not great shooting-wise, and you lose a defender in Andrew Wiggins. Jimmy Butler is a defender as well, but you lose a defender in Wiggins, and you lose a guy who you want to be your three or your fourth best scorer. You add your second best scorer, but then you still have a big gaping hole at your third best scorer. Okay, so that's part of it there. And the other half of it for Jimmy Butler is you don't know about the future of Jimmy Butler. Is he going to be here for 3 months? Is he going to be here for just a year and a half?
I don't know about this weekend with Jimmy Butler. He goes sideways at any moment.
So that's part of it.
Yep.
For Zach LaVine, it is the same thing. To get him, and I'm with you, I don't read into at all these nobodies who pay for a check mark on Twitter and tweet out what they call news and tips and with sources, and they say all these crazy things. If the Warriors are acquiring Zach LaVine, they will be trading away Andrew Wiggins. 100%. You can book it. It's the only way that that's going to happen. that's probably an improved Warrior team too, but I think it's marginal. I don't think it makes them a whole lot better. Because again, you're acquiring a number two, but you're getting rid of the guy currently serving as your number two. Thereby, you have a big hole at number three. You don't have a third scorer anymore. Cam Johnson fills all the holes because he's, again, cheap, which means you don't have to give away your number three guy, Andrew Wiggins, and you have him under team control for 2.5 years. LaVine and Cam Johnson, somewhat similar in terms of stylistic fit because they can both score from the outside. LaVine, though, not a good perimeter defender. Cam Johnson absolutely is. And again, you can get him for so much less. The framework of a deal would probably be first-round pick, maybe two first-round picks, Looney, GP2. You could throw in someone like Kyle Anderson, and you could get the deal done. Or maybe there's a third team, fourth team, and the pieces get jumbled around. You could make it work without giving up Kuminga and without giving up Wiggins. You get a legit number two scorer in here who makes so many of your other lineup constructions work. For me, it's a no-brainer.
If Brooklyn is actually getting rid of this guy, I'd be obsessed if I were the Warriors. Absolutely and totally and completely obsessed.
And I've fielded a couple of questions on both our YouTube chat and on the text line. Yeah. You can join the conversation 888-957-9570. Why would Brooklyn? We're singing this dude's praises. I mean, I'm comparing him to Klay Thompson, for goodness sake. Why are the Nets interested in getting rid of this dude? Well,
it's a fair question. I know what your answer is, but
it's a good question.
Yeah, I don't. There's also the answer of I don't know. I don't know why they want to get rid of him. He's cheap. He's in his 20s and he's awesome.
The Nets are more interested in losing basketball games right now than winning.
That's part of it.
That's why they traded away Dennis Schroeder for a net of 2 second-round picks. They acquired the money to make the Dennis Schroeder deal work is D'Anthony Melton, who's out for the year. So they're not interested in being good this year. So that's one reason to be interested in trading him away. And two, they want to clear their books as much as they possibly can.
Yep. And they want more picks.
And if Cam Johnson was 24, it might be a different story because that's a guy you can build around for years in the future. Cam Johnson, 29, he's still in his prime, but he is approaching the tail end of his career. He's about halfway through his career.
I'd love to dip my toe into this water. But first of all, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. About 20 minutes away from giving you the knockout tournament keyword for the day. But 888-957-9570. I think when you mention this idea, Looney is in the deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's dive into that a little bit.
Okay.
Warrior fans, two things. A, I would love to know from an emotional standpoint, are you prepared to trade Kevon Looney? That's number one. But number two, in honor of Kevon, especially if he does end up leaving here, if he's about to play his last few games as a Warrior.
With a nasal fracture tonight.
Right, with a mask on.
Yeah.
In honor of Kevon, because I'd argue he is one of, at least in recent memory, the Bay Area's favorite sports figures who doesn't put up stats. Who is your all-time favorite Bay Area athlete who's never really done anything statistically special? Who is that person? Your favorite Bay Area athlete who's really never done anything with stats. Not a numbers person. Just something else. I've got one who... I'll just say I've got one. I'm not going to tease it any further. But we'll take your calls on all of that in honor of Kevon Looney. Grandy's in for Dibs. It's Willard and Dibs.